already vetting us. Yeah, so I don't, like, who are you? Why are you here?
He was looking for your credentials.
Exactly. Yeah. What are you doing here? And so I was like, we're here to meet Alex for a podcast. And he was like, I don't know who that is. Who is he with? And I was like,
like, are you here to meet a star? I was like, I don't know what that means.
They're protecting the helipad.
No. Jerry Jones lands his helicopter right here in the practice field.
That's crazy.
Well, that's why they didn't let me up. I didn't come in a helicopter.
No.
Maybe they would have just let me come up if I came in a
helicopter. Would you drive to work in a helicopter? I don't think
he
I would.
He has been saying that constantly. He's like, I want a helicopter. I want a helicopter.
Absolutely. I keep saying I need a helicopter to get around the Metroplex with how much I drive and not not have to deal with the traffic.
I don't think a day goes by where he doesn't mention how bad he wants a helicopter.
Oh, yeah. So if you come across any pilots that want a job, and
I told him I would try to get my helicopter license.
I think I'm too afraid of the helicopter would spin out of control, and I would Kobe Bryant it and crash
it. It's all right. I got life insurance. My wife will be fine.
I won't. I need a job.
Well, I'm so glad you guys found the elevator to take you to the office eventually. So, well, thanks so much for joining. My name is Alex. I'm with Simply Gold. I've got my guests here today. I've got Michael and Emma with Ally Pest and Termite Control. Thanks so much for joining you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Today, you know, Michael, you've had an opportunity to share with me some really special things that you're doing. First and foremost, you know, the service that you provide through Ally Pest and Termite Control. I don't know if you know this. You probably do, but I actually became a customer over the weekend.
Yeah, you told me about
Like officially, like I gave you money. Brian, I think is his name, came to my house, did a walk around, and I mean, not insultingly, but he was like, who's doing your pest control? When did they come last? And I'm like, I have no idea. I just pay the money and they come.
And that's typically the answer that we get. Who's your tech? I don't know. What company to use? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Basically, I had rats in the walls. We found a huge hole. I mean, huge. And he's like, he didn't see this, you know, and I kind of felt kind of dumb. I was like, why didn't I go see and look? But I mean, that's not my job. My job's to like live in the home and do my thing.
I just live here. Yep. I didn't do anything.
But, you know, he came out on a Saturday. He was super nice to my kids. He's got a son. Mm-hmm. I think that's about the same age as mine. They played in the backyard and they had a great time. And just the knowledge that he gave was super beneficial. You know, he was like, you know, do you ever think about it or whatever? I was like, I'm not thinking about it at all. Like, sign me up. Let's go. Yeah. So I was just really appreciative. You know, I made a testimony to you guys in networking on Friday, you know, the fact that I had already had a meeting set, you know, with your guy to come out before I had even left lunch with you.
Absolutely. Basically any business that I've been involved with, that's how, you know, basically my claim to fame, so to speak, is customer service. So if I put my name behind it type of thing, my employees know I expect top tier performance regardless of what we're charging.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was a huge value. I'm super thankful for that. So, and that's just one of the things that you do, Michael, right?
Yes.
So from what our conversation is, you know, that's what you do by day, but what you're really passionate about is a nonprofit that you run, essentially helping out low-income kids who need that type of support. And what was the name of that nonprofit?
It's called Service First.
Service First, that's right. Based here in town, I'm assuming.
Yes.
How long ago did you start that nonprofit?
I started it about 5 years ago. We haven't had a ton of time in order to really dedicate what I would like to, because again, it is a lot as far as organizing the trades and tutors and stuff required to kind of really pull the kids out of the situation that they're in and put them on a long-term path to success. So we try doing other things as well to help them. We generally will pick a couple of widows or single parents type of thing a couple times a year, remodel their house, provide food. Sometimes we'll just pay the house off when we obviously can see they can't work, they're disabled.
You know. I don't even know how you get started on that. Like, I think people think it's fun to start a nonprofit, right, for the wrong reasons. They're like, oh, that's cool. You know, maybe I should do that. But the amount of work and effort that it takes to get a nonprofit up and running and then to manage it on a daily basis, you know, it has to come from a greater source.
Absolutely. No, the paperwork alone, just being able to know which boxes to check, my buddy and I that started it, it was months of research, figuring out which type of nonprofit, that we wanted to use and that type of thing. Yeah, it was a pain. And then it took probably a good 6 months before we ever even heard back from the IRS on, okay.
To even know if you can do.
Yeah. Okay. We received your paperwork. Oh, well, great. plans. So yeah, it was like a 8 month process.
I've called the IRS before. It's not very fun. Exactly. They're not very helpful.
Oh, please wait on hold for me to tell you. I have no idea what you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once we finally got it back, super stoked about it. Like I said, we've done some smaller things. I have organized several dozen trades and stuff that volunteer their time and sponsor the kids type thing. So that way, as they're going through high school, by the time they graduate, they basically have a journeyman's license. Mm-hmm. And then they can pursue that trade, or we have several tutors that will help the kids if they decide they want to go on to college. They help them get scholarships and grants and things, since obviously money is going to be an issue.
Yeah. I mean, just to keep it funding and all the things that are necessary, I'm sure is a struggle. We here at Simply Gold, we do work with other nonprofits. And you know, it's a battle. You can see when you do the discovery, it's like, how do we get more money? How do we get more sponsorships? How do we get in front of more corporations to help support that? I think from what I've learned with you, a lot of your other business ventures are kind of self-supporting that nonprofit as well.
Absolutely. So the main reason that I decided to come back to marketing, and in fact, you've mainly seen me in three-piece suits. to be honest, this is a recent thing. My kids, it's been 10 years since I put a suit on. I don't really have to wear a suit. And when I came out in a suit, my daughter, who's now 15, looked at me and was like, where are you going? Are you like going to a funeral or what's happening? And I was like, no, I'm going to work. She's like, you've never worn a suit to work. I was like, actually, I wore suits a lot to work. I just didn't need to by the time you came around. My pest control company that we started, I originally started to support my realtors in my home inspection business because it was just a service that would benefit them, basically increase efficiency because they're dealing with short options and mm-hmm. that type of thing. And then as I started looking into it, I found that it would be a good long-term way to fund the nonprofit. So once I get to 25,000 contracts, I don't really need anyone else to fund. And we actually are pretty picky about how we vet who wants to donate to our nonprofit. There is a vetting process, and if I feel like you cannot financially afford it, mm-hmm. I don't accept the donation.
So kind of go into more detail for that. So if a company comes to you and says, we've got, like, how what's that vetting process, I guess I'm trying to understand?
Well, so companies are a little different. If you own a business type mm-hmm. thing, we want to make a donation, obviously the vetting process is going to be a little different. But we do have private people that want to participate. If your income level or income bracket, that type of thing, you've got kids mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be, and you're obviously struggling to make ends meet and you're wanting to make a donation to me, I'm like, well, you can come donate your time because we have volunteer things that you can do all the time.
Right.
But I'm not going to take your money because chances are we're just going to turn around and spend it on you.
Yeah. No, I empathize with that. I think we're in the same boat now that you describe it that way. You know, I've had prospects come to to the company, and you can tell that they're borrowing it from their cushion, right. You know, or their mom's credit card.
Exactly.
And like, you don't want to put somebody in that situation. It's no. Like, I don't want to take your last $300.
No. Yeah. You're going to fund this good thing by paying 26% for the next.
Right. Right. And as entrepreneurs, I mean, a lot of the work, I mean, yeah, it comes from money, but it comes from like just putting in the time and putting in the work.
Exactly. So like I said, if you want to do a good deed, there's all kinds of places that you can volunteer, and we do them quite often too, mm-hmm. Type of thing. But I'm not going to take money from someone that can't afford it.
Yeah. Emma, I know you work a lot alongside Michael, kind of his right arm and making sure that he's got everything put together. Have you had an opportunity to work within the nonprofit or just kind of see it firsthand?
I have not. I really can't wait for the opportunity to actually be in that, though. Just like rehabilitating like children like that. That's a big passion of mine as well. Like my parents have been foster parents for the longest time, and so I get to see that firsthand as well. So eventually, whenever I'm able to see that, whenever things start kind of picking up for that, I'm super excited to be next to him mm-hmm. to see how that goes. But just from the way that I see how he runs his current businesses, just everything that I get to kind of walk with him on, he is so passionate about helping the clients and what they actually need, and he's the best whenever it comes to actual customer service. So just getting to see what he does right now is like so, it creates so much hope for the actual nonprofit part mm-hmm. of everything.
Michael, so what are some ways more specifically that you contribute to kind of the overall client experience?
So we generally pride ourselves on being your one-stop shop because my dad was what I call a serial entrepreneur. So basically from the time that I can remember, 5 years old type of thing. He was a national trainer, specifically geared towards networking, setting goals, that type of thing. So from the time I was little, stand up, tell this group of 5,000 people, you know, what they need to do in order to succeed in their business. As far as customer service, I kind of took that same training and applied it to that. Who exactly is my clientele? And it goes beyond just the person that's paying me. Who sent me that referral? Mm-hmm. And generally, that's going to be a real estate agent. Well, real estate agents, believe it or not, they earn their money. You have no idea the hours they put in behind the scene. And then now we're like, okay, well, now you have sometimes only 3 days. And in that 3 days, you have to come up with an inspection. You have to determine what is worth fixing. You have to do this big laundry list of stuff.
Right.
And so both to service the client as well as the agent, again, my background mainly is in contracting. And then I shifted over about 13 years ago into mainly inspections. And so being able to connect them with quality roofing contractors, quality GCs, quality electricians, people who are actually going to do the job because I send a lot of business to them and they don't want an angry phone call from me because I send them so much business. And so as a result, they're able to get a much higher quality job and service for what they're paying just by hiring me because I don't charge anything for that.
Mm-hmm. No, it all starts at the beginning of the experience, I think. Have you guys ever eaten at or heard of Marty B's restaurant?
I don't think so, no.
So there's a gentleman in the Flower Mound area. His name is Marty Bryant. Mm-hmm. He owns Marty B's. If you go there, what you'll notice is before you even get to the front door, you got somebody opening the door for you.
Right.
And that's intentional. And it's not a hostess. It's a door opener. That's their job.
Right.
Is to open the door. And so that's another example, in my opinion, of where the client experience starts from the very beginning. And then the same is in the reverse. When you leave, that same person is opening the door again and like, bye, you know, have a great, great time and we'll see you again. Yeah. When Brian came to my house, he really did a great job, not only on site, but he also followed up with me later on, you know, with a text message. He also connected me with his wife's daycare. So they do like a parents' night out mm-hmm. kind of thing. And instantaneously he became memorable, right?
Yep.
In a certain layer, like he's now become my friend. Yeah. Right. And so like, I'm not going to forget him. So then when he was like, you know, what are your thoughts? I'm like, it's a no brainer. Like you're cool. Your kid's hanging out with my kid. I mean, there's so many things that you can do that go above and beyond the service part to make sure that your customer has a great experience.
Absolutely. And, Brian in particular, as I said, it's actually funny how I ran into him. Our kids actually did MMA together. And, so his daughter was a few years younger than mine, but again, she was coming over to our house all the time, that type of thing. And as you can tell, I have a tendency to adopt children because I didn't get the 12 that I wanted.
You already felt like a child being on this with your voice, didn't you, Emma?
Yeah. The moment I met him, he was like, you're mine now. Just FYI, you're my kid. And I was like, well, you can't legally adopt me. I'm 19. Like, we can't sign the papers, but he was like, you're mine. You're my kid. You cannot get rid of me now. And I was like, okay, Dad.
It is true. So my best friend that I've had since I was like 10 years old, he was like, I don't ever remember like actually becoming your friend. You just kind of claimed me, and then that was the way that it was. And I was like, yeah, sounds about right. We're kind of like the Borg. We just decide that you're going to be assimilated, and that's the way that it's going to be.
When I met you last week and you discussed how you have, you know, all these companies and then you've got Emma really helping to support everything that you do. You know, a lot of business owners that we come into, you know, they're wearing every single hat. You know, I almost had to look myself in the mirror. I was like, holy smokes, like I'm not doing enough. The guy next to me is hanging out with me, eating lunch, and he has time to do that, but he's running five companies and he wants to, you know, run more, you know? So, you know, as entrepreneurs that we work with and people that are listening to this recording, you know, how do you delegate through that process and how do you scale that type of business and continuously add on to it?
So when I was young, my dad had a business partner and he I was talking to him and he was already very, very, very successful. And he gave me advice that kind of resounded with me. He was like, son, don't ever do something yourself that you can pay someone else to do. And that's not to say don't do anything yourself. It's that you do what actually is going to be important to your company. Basically, only you can do this job. You're irreplaceable at this one thing. Because everything else generally can be farmed out to someone else and done at a much more economical value. So the key to scale is delegation and duplication. If you can't duplicate or delegate, you won't ever go beyond just what you yourself can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's hard. It was hard for me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Still hard.
It's still hard even for me. You can ask her. Every once in a while, I'll take my phone back, and suddenly she's like, you're doing my job. I'm like, I'm sorry.
I think I've said it like 7 times today alone, and mm-hmm. I've had to like take his phone out of his hands so I could do my job, because that's what he pays me to do. I'm not going to sit here next to you and do nothing. Like,
right.
You pay me to take your phone, text the people back, make sure that everyone is covered, because that's the big part of customer service, is mm-hmm. making sure that everyone is communicated with, everyone knows what and where and why and how, and that we care still. So I've really taken over his phone for the most part. He needs to get another one, so he stops taking the one that I need.
That is true. I because I have 100 million things going on in my head. I'm like, oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do this. Well, she has my phone, so apparently I need another one so I can start working on something else.
But then he's going to start trying to work from that phone as well, and I'm going to mm-hmm. be like, stop doing that. Let me handle it. I promise you I'm capable.
Yep. In the business of marketing, you know, we have a really great track record, success rate, clients that come on board. Generally speaking, they're sticky, but, you know, there's a small percentage that every single month, you know, and that's in any business, whether it's in the pest control business, marketing, you know, they quit. They give up on whatever it is because it got hard and difficult. I'm sure owning, starting, managing a nonprofit has its challenges. You know, kind of share with us maybe, you know, your worst day or maybe the second worst day, but what was that moment where you were just like, oh my gosh, like, should I just not do this anymore? But you just kept going with it.
So the advice I would give to any young entrepreneur or business owner that's starting out, the times that you feel like giving up, you're right on the precipice of something great. That's the times that you should double down, because you're at the tipping point. If you just see it through a little bit further, I guarantee you, you're going to see results at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally, you put in the work, and I don't care what you're doing, everything is about momentum. So once you've started that momentum, generated that momentum, if you quit mid-scale, the momentum stops.
Yeah. And I mean, and you're a power networker. You network like me. You know, you're there all the time. You don't see the results same day.
No.
Not typical.
No. It's and the sales in general. I don't care if you're running an ad campaign through Google or Facebook or networking. It doesn't matter. It's all a long-term thing. Mm-hmm. Eventually, after enough people have seen this ad, I'm going to start right. getting people to call. Eventually, after I've talked to enough people, I'll start getting returns back. So again, people have a tendency, they put in all this work, effort, and stuff, and don't see an immediate gratification. And that's the problem oftentimes with the society that we have currently, is we're a microwave society.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stick it in there, and I want it to be done in 30 seconds. That's not the way that business works.
Right.
You have to put in the time and effort and face time and then wait and keep working while you're waiting for that gratification.
People ask me the same. They're like, how did you do it? I'm like, I just didn't quit. I mean, it's really that simple. I go to work at 8, you know, 7:30, mm-hmm. and I don't leave till 5
exactly.
or 6 or whatever. Like, I don't take a 3-hour lunch. I take an hour, and I just work every day.
And I don't sit in an office and wait for business to come to me.
Right.
So that oftentimes is, I'm in business, okay. You've never left your office. You're not really in business.
Yeah. I had one guy I talked to. I go, how many clients do you have? He goes, 25. I go, wow, that's a lot. You have 25 active clients right now? He goes, well, I only have 5 active clients. I'm like, well, who are the other 20? Like,
and are they really clients? They're not bringing in money.
Right.
Really
so then I asked him for money, and he's like, well, I need to split it up into 3 bands or something. And I wasn't trying to like make him feel bad, but I clearly had caught him in a lie. You
right.
know, it's like you're misrepresenting. Not me. I don't care either way, but you're just not being honest to yourself.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of new time business owners, the same thing. Again, it's the title thing. Okay. I own my own business. I'm mm-hmm. my own CEO. Okay. That title means nothing
right.
unless you actually make it into something. So.
Can you apply, Michael, all the same principles that you've had with the pest control service, with the startup, to the next business that you're running, or do you think it's a completely different animal?
Oh, no. Business is business. I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, number one, show up and put in the work. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. You're not really selling that business. You're selling yourself.
Right. Yeah. And Emma, you don't come from like entrepreneur world, right? Or do you? I think you sold insurance before this, right? And that's a very much self-starter, get up in the morning, set your own goals. What made you kind of get out of that industry into something new?
Well, so the way that it worked was I worked in health insurance and I worked for a kind of like a sponsorship essentially so that I could sell health insurance. I had my own license. I had my own business title. I had all of that. But the sponsor that I was going through, they pretty much controlled the access I had for selling health insurance. And as I was owning my own business, selling as much as I could, going out and doing my things, my sponsor essentially said, if you don't make sales by this certain amount of time, if you don't make this certain amount of money, if you don't come into the office and make 800 cold calls a day, they were like, you don't want to be here, so we're going to revoke your sponsorship, essentially. And I was like, that's not owning my own business.
Yeah, I don't make that many calls a day.
I was like, I feel trapped in this. This isn't what I essentially want from selling. I don't want to be the kind of person that just sits in a room, cold calls all day, making no connections, no friendships, no relationships. It was draining. Everything that I did was the opposite of what I wanted to do. So I started networking, and that's how I met Michael. And so many different opportunities were opened up to me. So many things were like, hey, this is possible. You just have to step out of the situation you're in because it's not beneficial to you even in the slightest. You have information that you didn't have before, but besides that, you're not happy, you're not thriving, you're not building. And I was like, you know what? To be completely honest, I don't even want to do this anymore. So I stepped out of it. Michael offered me this assistant position, and I was honestly overwhelmed by the fact that he had so much faith in me in the first place, and he was willing to give me a chance to network and grow in the best possible way, and I get to spend all day every day with him, and that's a benefit within itself. So just that's how I guess I started in entrepreneurship. I've always kind of had the idea that I was not going to work for someone. I never wanted to work for someone, a corporation, anything like that. So I tried my best with health insurance. I did what I could. It just wasn't for me, and I'm moving on to something bigger, greater, something that's me. Mm-hmm. And that's travel agency. That's my main job right now. Besides working for Michael, I'm a travel agent, and travel's my passion, and planning is a passion of mine. So being able to step into that instead of being so trapped is liberating, yeah, to say the least.
I mean, as cliche as it sounds, they say, you know, do what you love and you never work a day in your life,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah. My hardest day, when I max out, it's 12 Zooms a day. That's my max, right? After that, I'm smoked.
Yeah.
But that's 12 people, owners, entrepreneurs that I got to learn from. So I leave the office a completely different person, right? Somebody will say something and I'm like, holy smokes, I've never thought of that. We did a podcast with 7K Metals Associates, the Basses. I don't know if you've met them.
Yeah.
I literally looked at them. I'm like, I need to read the books that you're reading because I've never heard the stuff that you're saying. And it's like changing my life. You know, it took me a long time. I'm late in the game. I'm 40 years old. This has been the best year. 2023 was our best year that we've ever had. 2024 is on track to do the same. But I wish I had had that so a long time ago. I think, Michael, you were fortunate where, you know, you started entrepreneurship essentially when you were 8 years old, I think you mentioned.
Right.
What were you selling or what were you?
So I did laundry. So basically anyone in bike range was at danger of me just coming and kidnapping your clothes and doing them and then holding them ransom until you paid me.
That's funny. I started mowing yards when I was a teen and I stole my dad's mower, you know, and just hijacked it.
My dad's got all of his clothes got ironed and starched once a week, whether you wore them or not. You know, you're going to pay me. And he had a lot of suits because, again, he was me. So a 3-piece suit is what he wore to work every day. So
one of the funnest summers I had was window washing residential homes. I just did it for a summer, but I had the math down. It was like for every 100 flyers or doors I knocked on, I got like 4 jobs.
Right.
And then, you know, at $300, $400 a pop, you know, to do the math, it was easy money. And especially when you're like 20 years old, 21, you know, $2,000 in a month can go a long way where you're not spending it on happy hours and stuff.
It was funny because when I was, so I transitioned from that into landscaping and, a buddy and my, again, we both kidnapped our parents' lawnmowers and equipment. And so when everyone else was out making, I don't remember what minimum wage was, like $5 an hour.
I worked at the mall. Yeah. Like I was making like $8 an hour, sweating.
Yeah, most people I knew were making like minimum wage. I think it was like $5.25 an hour or something like that. And I was making $2,000 a week doing mowing lawns. And so when we would go out type of thing, they were like, I can't afford that. And I was like, why? What's wrong with you? What are you? You have a job. But yeah, it's always been fun. I say I'm unemployable. I've had jobs in the past. Generally, a job for someone else maybe last 3 weeks.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I've had jobs. I've had lots of jobs. When I knew I was done with being in a corporate world, I had gotten a job as a recruiter. I'd already been recruiting, but I got like a new job, right? So they offered me a ton of money. It was like $80,000, which was a lot at the time, plus commission. Went to the office, gorgeous office. They had like floor-to-ceiling windows. Everyone was like just having a great time. I lasted through lunch, and I went and hid out in my car, and I was so embarrassed. But I finally figured out who I was at that moment. I was like, I can never again step into someone's office and be their employee, like what Emmett was describing, working for somebody else.
Yeah, miserable. Someone else controlling your schedule. So I've had people try to capture me in the past where they're like, you know, I want you to work for me full time. It's like, you don't have enough money. I'm sorry. But sacrificing my freedom, so to speak, where you're controlling my schedule in the entire time, there is.
Yeah. That's it. And it's not going to be any fun. I'll make you miserable.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to want ownership and all sorts of stuff.
Absolutely. I'm like, I'm growing your business exponentially. Where's my cut?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I'm 19 right now, pretty young, but from the moment I turned 16, I've always held two jobs. I was always doing something. I've always wanted to work as much as I could, but the only thing is I was working 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. most days.
Mm-hmm.
And that also got to the point where I was so incredibly exhausted from working every single day from the earliest moment I could wake up to the latest moment I could go to sleep. And that, like, working for people and still making, what, 15 an hour, maybe? I was like, this is ridiculous. I could work half as much doing my own thing and make three times more.
Yep.
Easily.
And have the time, the flexibility.
Yeah.
And all
and
that
then
stuff.
Be able to actually create relationships instead of being stuck in a place where I don't meet people, even mm-hmm. in the slightest. I'm like, I just served you food and now goodbye. Like, that's all I got. And then now I'm meeting new people every single day.
Yeah.
Quite literally changing my life every single day. So.
And I think I find like it's not hard to be an entrepreneur. It's just keeping it simple and doing the basics.
Yeah, exactly. And just showing up. Again, so most people don't believe this, but I'm an extreme introvert. Yes. Like, this is forced for me. Again, it was something that was learned. It was like, if you want to be in business, you got to go talk to people. Oh, okay. Got to go talk to people.
Yep.
But it basically, again, just showing up is at least 80%.
Mm-hmm.
At least 80%. Just show up.
And if you have if there's a deficit or a gap, it's being able to fill that gap. And I think that's what you've really installed in your businesses over the last recent time is, you know, I don't want to be a master of everything. I want to be master of exactly what I'm good at, you know, really exploit that. And if there's an area that I need to focus on, and I can delegate, you know, that's more powerful than just trying to do it all yourself.
Absolutely. There's a quote, and I have no idea who said it, but a master of all is a master of none.
Emma, didn't you say that in the elevator coming up?
Probably. You know, I say something sometimes. It's just the wisdom I've gained.
Yeah, I think you told that to the security guard. You're like, dude, you know nothing. Yeah. You're a master of nothing.
The master of nothing.
You're a master of this door that we're standing in front of.
You can open a door. That's about all you can do.
So, yeah, no, just kind of picking the thing that I am really good at and nobody else can really replace. That is the value in the company that I hold.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm going to serve. And I can hire someone to answer the phones. I can hire someone to answer my text messages. I can hire, I can even hire certain inspections out. However, you know, 250,000 square foot building type of thing. Okay, that's my wheelhouse.
Mine is sales and meeting people. It's what I love to do. If my company gets so large that I have to, you know, can sell it or whatever the case, I just want to be an employee. Like, at that point, just don't fire me. Let me be 80 years old. I'll be the 80-year-old old man in like the back closet.
Yep.
And when new people come, they're like, who's that old man in the corner? Like,
the guy who won't retire.
Yeah.
He can't.
He just won't retire.
I already told my wife, I was like, I will never retire. That's just a foregone conclusion.
Threatens it every day.
If you make me retire, I probably will die in the same year. because what am I going to do with my time? That sounds awful.
But every day he's like, I quit. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And then he's like, five more years is all I need.
It's true. 5 years and I can transition into the nonprofit. And that's really what I would want to do.
Yeah. No, I mean, so you answer the next question. I don't want to ask where you see yourselves in 5 years. That's such a lame question.
Yeah.
You know, but what does 2024 have in store for Michael?
2024 is really the first year that we're doubling down on our marketing type thing for the pest control. Because before it was just kind of an organic thing that happened to service my inspection company. But I saw where that could long-term fund my nonprofit, where I no longer have to go raise money from anyone, ask for anyone, and I can really focus on what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because in 5 years, I want to take it international. I'm going to go into the Philippines initially and then to Mexico.
I don't like bugs. They freak me out.
I like spiders.
I don't do any home improvement. I don't fix things. I don't paint. I can't even put in a ceiling fan.
See,
do you know anybody that can put in a ceiling fan?
I do.
I have two. So my poor 8-year-old, he's 8 years old. I bought him a bunk bed, but he's afraid to go to the top bunk because the old ceiling fan might cut his head off. So
that was my same fear as a kid.
I bought a new fan that has like a shield around it, and it's still in the box. I don't know.
Like, sorry, this makes me a fantastic parent. My kids wanted a bunk bed, so we put it up in their room. Same thing. If you lean too far out, that thing will catch you. So my 10-year-old was wrestling around and got shoved out over top me, and it caught him right across the nose.
Whoa.
Type of thing. So he starts bleeding, freaking out type of thing. So I'm like, it's fine. Let me see. It's not broken. You're fine. Calm down.
It's a valid fear.
This is how you know if you have one kid or five. The first kid, you're kind of like a helicopter parent.
Right.
Oh, my God, they did something. The second kid, you're doing a little less. The fifth kid, you hear a scream. You're like, no, the pause wasn't long enough.
Yeah, right. You're like, you're waiting to see if there's another scream or if it's out of rage or if they start laughing or something. Yeah, send me a referral for a ceiling fan install. But my kid was afraid of the rats, you know, living in the wall. I mean, I live in a lake property. It's not like I'm a dirty person or anything like that, but...
not dirty like that.
Not dirty like that. There's a lot of foliage, you know, there's a lot of trees, a lot of leaves. So we get snakes, we get rats, we get all sorts of stuff. Water moccasins. I'm thankful that you guys came out. So I want to make sure I give you guys an opportunity to really just, you know, share with the audience anything you want to about the nonprofit, anything about, you know, some of the other businesses that you're working on. The floor is yours, Michael.
So we kind of covered a lot of the what I'm focused on, the nonprofit. In the short term, because it does require so much planning and time, which I don't have a ton of, to do the long-term goal of really pulling kids out and being able to work with them all the way through high school and that type of thing. We generally, a couple times a year, we'll pick a couple families, kind of connect into the local communities with the churches and stuff like that, because they generally know who the people of need are, and then go in, remodel, provide funding for food and that type of thing, housing, etc. For specifically like single parents is kind of where we stick our thing. And then we're beginning to branch out and try to partner with other nonprofit organizations, you know, ones that they've built website and stuff for basically widowed mothers or low income single parents type of thing that can't afford to fix their homes.
Mm-hmm. And how do we get either involved or how do we get in touch with you if we need that type of service?
So right now I haven't really made it publicly available to most. It's basically just kind of people that I've networked with personally, mainly just because, again, I'm not really set up infrastructure wise in order to have a large amount of people calling, because that's a whole another business that I can
type of thing. And then for the pest and termite control, how do we get in touch with you on that?
So you can go to our website, type thing. It is Ally Pest and Termite, and it is ALLY, not Allied. But allypestandtermite.com.
I feel like you should change that.
I agree.
It's like every time he says it, he's like, it's A-L-L-Y.
Well, I didn't research this at all, and my business partner came up with the name, and I was like, I don't care what it's called. It doesn't matter to me at all. So I didn't look at it at all. And then the first time I tried to look up our website, it pulled up Allied Pest Control. I was like, Because when you say ally, pest, and termite, it sounds like you're saying allied. And right. So I can't tell you. They're like, we tried pulling it up, and it didn't show you. It showed someone else. And I was like, yeah, that's not the website. So, yeah, that's why I have to specify. Very annoying. But yeah, you can go to our website, or you can give us a call. To be honest, I do not have that number memorized. I probably should.
I don't either.
I do not have that number memorized.
I don't even have. I generally just
tell them reach out to me directly.
All good. We'll drop it in the link below because we'll throw this on YouTube and everywhere. So yeah. We'll be able to get it. But more importantly, I mean, you know, you're a networker. Mm-hmm. I say network. I can't think of a better name to call us, but you're a relationship guy. So at the end of the day. Like you mentioned early on, I mean, it's all about the relationships that you're building, and that's really how you get in contact. I mean, they're the best customers. That's why we don't run ads. We don't run ads.
No, I don't either.
We build relationships with people.
Yeah.
Because we can tell pretty early on if we don't want to work with you.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. That's why I tell everyone, I was like, there's an abundance of clientele. There are 9 million people in Metroplex, and I guarantee you, I don't want to serve half of them.
Right.
I'm surprised he works with me. On a daily basis, I'm like, how do you put up with me?
You're so nice.
I am so sweet. She's
secretly
sweet.
Crazy. And
but I am not an easy person to stay with on a regular basis. It's like, he's like, I don't work well with women. And I'm like, okay, cool. We'll see how well you work with me specifically. And then see how we go from there. And he seems to love it. Apparently, I'm great. And I make him laugh constantly. And it's...
Generally, I'm too blunt for most women, and they take it as an offense.
Apparently, I take it real well. Yeah. I don't.
because I just say what I'm thinking, and so a lot of women, I can't tell you the number of times. I'll give you an example. I had an employee, her job was to answer the phones, and the phones weren't being answered. And I was like, hey, we need to make sure the phones are answered every single time they're called. And I said it just like that. Mm-hmm. She started bawling. And I was like,
oh, like crying.
I like crying. And I was like, I'm not sure what to do here. there, pat your head. Please go in the other room and come back when you be an adult.
Yeah, that's
I've never
weird.
Once cried in front of this man. He's never made me need to cry. I've
cried before.
Well, I've cried even before. As a grown man. Don't get me wrong.
I love a good cry. I'm not going to lie. A good solid cry makes me feel a lot better.
But it is a stress reliever. I tell my kids that all the time. I was like, crying is okay.
It is.
Crying is okay, but doing it to get your own way, no, that's not okay.
Well, he just says, hey, do this for me. And I'm like, on it, 10-4. But that might be from the fact that I've had a military dad my whole life, and he's just been like, do the things. And I'm like, yes, sir. And it's been easy for me, and so he's kind of like, you're doing great, you're doing amazing, and I'm like...
Well, I can tell by your smile, I mean, you're loving it, and that's all
job.
That matters.
It's the best job I've ever had, and I can tell you that immediately. I love working with him, I love networking with him. Everything that we've done so far, there's not been a single thing that I've been like, I don't like this all that much. It's just so easy for me. I just text on his phone. He tells me what to do. I do it. Everything works out. Apparently, I'm really good at it from what he said.
I'm just jealous. I wish I was 19 and in her shoes. I mean, I'd have 20 years to go, you know, before I'm where I am now. So, like I said, I feel like I'm late to the party, but
it's such better a late beneficial than never. Thing. Because I don't, the way I got into entrepreneurship is so like random. I did not mean to. I did not know what I was doing, but I got into it and then. Just it took off from there, and then meeting all of these people and being with such an amazing guy on a regular basis that is pouring into me. Like, he's not even, like, he doesn't shield anything. He's like, this is what you do. This is how you do it. This is how we are going to do it because this is what you need to learn. Straight up, just all on the table, and he's doing that for me, which nobody I know has the opportunities that I do, and it has been the best thing.
Very cool. Well, I'm so glad that you guys came out and shared your story with us and about the nonprofit.
Thank you so much for having us.
Emma, man, I'm pumped, man. I hope to see you around the networking and I hope to not have any more rats in the wall. So I'm excited about that.
If you do, just make sure you call us so that we can release them on someone else's property.
Ally. Yeah,
I've got some neighbors on. We can dump those on. So I'm Alex with Simply Gold. Thank you, Michael and Emma,
thank you.
For coming by. We really appreciate you guys, okay?